Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everyone, it's Jack, Andrew and Ross from Cultaholic here for another exciting edition of Nine Pitcheroonies. How are we feeling ahead of Full Gear?
I'm moving up through the gears, Jack what the is? Jobber. How excited are we for this card?
I'm all right about it, I think. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's following the similar trajectory as all AEW pay-per-views.
Right.
It's been a little bit of a lull. There's been lots of hoo-ha about the aged movement of the AEW roster. Everyone seems a bit down on AEW at the moment. That's what, you know, going off Twitter and whatnot. But no, they're going to put out the bag like they always do.
Yeah, I'm excited. I really want to see who the Devilman is. And that is what I am looking forward to the most.
That won't happen on Saturday.
No?
Do you not reckon?
I don't know.
I think it will.
I think it, but yeah. Then they've got that other pay-per-view at the end of the year, though, as well. They could drag it out till then.
And it's called World's End, right? And MJF's, you know, his contract's up in 2024. So what a fitting send-off that would be.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
If he got killed, imagine he got killed off, chucked off a bridge. Tony-esque from NXT.
Oh, what happens if it is Tony? Then that's the bridge.
Tony D or Tony Khan?
Tony D.
Tony
D.
Yeah, I was speaking about Tony D-esque, like throw him off the bridge. Like
But Tony K does what Tony D does.
Yeah.
But then Tony D could fish him out of the lake and bring him to NXT.
So we're all really excited.
It's what we want to have
for Full Gear, and it's time for Nine Pitches. If you've never seen Nine Pitches before, we'll go around in a circle, Ross and Andrew, then myself, three times, and we're left with nine wonderful pitches for AEW Full Gear 2023. But remember the golden rule, it's not what we think is going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Even Joel's nodding behind the camera there.
He's buzzing. Ross, before I ask for your first pitch, recently on these pitches videos, you've suffered not a crisis of confidence, more just like a sort of a nihilism. Just like, what's the point?
I've had a conversation with Andrew before this video as well, saying it's the same old stuff, isn't it?
It's pretty much before every...
No faith in the pitches at all. I mean, how many years is this now?
We sometimes pull out some good ones.
6 years.
I think Crown Jewel was a good video.
I feel like we're spinning the wheels, though.
No, we're doing it.
I feel like we need a new injection of poison into the pitches.
Jesus.
You know, a bit of youthful exuberance.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? Because like, I get when we're trying to sort of follow what the tropes of what wrestling does, then there's bound to be a lot of things that sort of get recycled. You know what I mean? But you repackage it in a different way, like Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is we're very economical people. Not economical. Yes. We care about the environment.
We do. Environment.
Right, we're heading to the buy-in where MJF and a partner that is yet to be confirmed because we're sat here on Wednesday morning just to peel the curtain back a little bit, will take on Austin and Colton Gunn for the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. My pitch is not just what I want to happen, but it's also what needs to happen. Otherwise, one of the best wrestlers from the past 20 years is going to look like a right dick, so he is. After MJF makes his entrance, for some reason he starts feeling a fizzing sensation in and around his groin area. But don't worry, everybody. It's his telephone. He didn't realize he left it inside of his trunks, and his best friend, Adam Cole, is calling him on said telephone. MJF picks up the call and says, "Hang on, Adam. Let me cast this call to the Tron." Beep! And then he appears on the Tron, does Adam Cole, via FaceTime, because that's how wrestling works. Cole is obviously now seen on the Tron and says, "Maxwell, shut up, you ignorant slut." It's an Office reference. You need to do it. I've said the same thing all along, and I'm here to see it once more just so you don't change your mind. Do it now. Which then leads to MJF reluctantly saying, "My partner for this match is Samoa Joe.
Oh.
Because he knows that by doing this, he's also granting Joe a future title shot at his AEW World Championship. Joe then comes out and says, Max, I've got this. You take your cell on the apron and don't you worry about it, pal. Samoa Joe wrestles at least 90 to 95% of this Ring of Honor tag team title match because that man on the apron, known as Maxwell Jacob Friedman, is Samoa Joe's meal ticket. As long as he's still the AEW World Champion, Samoa Joe gets a shot at that championship. If MJF loses that title, who knows what's going to happen to Samoa Joe? Joe needs to protect MJF. Valiantly, though, Joe is beaten by the Guns, who are now the new Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, as everything Ring of Honor can bugger off and be Ring of Honor. AEW does not need Ring of Honor things. We've been round this thing. When was it? Last year? And then it came back again to where we find ourselves today.
It was WrestleMania weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it this year's WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I feel like it was this year's one, wasn't it?
The fact that we don't even know kind of says a lot.
Yeah. If I want to watch Ring of Honor, I'll watch Ring of Honor. We've got enough titles in AEW, we just don't need Ring of Honor titles.
So you've now got the Guns winning the belts.
The Guns are going to go off to Ring of Honor.
Right.
For a little excursion, let's say. Because I feel like it's being shaped as like a developmental now, isn't it, for AEW?
I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's what I want to happen. They win the titles, they bugger off the Ring of Honor with the titles. And never seen on AEW TV again, the titles, that is, not the Guns, because they are good. After the match, we see Joe and MJF have a little bit of a stare down, as we now know that Max has got, or what Max has got in his future. Gosh, I've written down here, the drama is off the scale. In the middle of the show now, so we've had that in the buy-in, this is now the middle of the main card, we see a SmackDown 2 Know Your Role like backstage segment, where we see BC Gold and Samoa Joe having a little chat, but we don't know what's being said because that music is playing over the top of them. What? Do, do, do,
oh.
Do.
Oh, yeah. I thought you dig, dig, dig.
You know, it. SmackDown 2 Know Your Role.
Dig, dig it out.
I thought he was doing, you know, Mario 64 when Bowser's there. Do, no, no, no.
References right over me head. Right, main event time now, though. And it's just as Justin Roberts is doing the introductions and your challenger and your champion, that sort of bollocks, they're both in the ring at the same time. Samoa Joe's music hits and he walks down to the ring and he snatches the microphone from the dapper Yapir. He looks at Jay White and he says, well, we had a deal and the big man has confirmed it. Justin, this is now a triple threat. The crowd cheers. The bell rings. Le Bosch! Samoa Joe smashes Jay White upside the head. We're all thinking, what the hell, Joe? What proceeds then happen is basically a handicap match with MJF constantly wary of what Samoa Joe might do next. But Samoa Joe, knowing that MJF is his meal ticket, is always going to help MJF, but he's sort of doing it in a threatening manner. Ultimately, basically, Samoa Joe hands MJF a title defense for free, but with the way it went down, with Joe toying with MJF's emotions throughout, the message has been sent. But more importantly, Joe's deal is still intact. MJF is the champion coming out of full gear. Joe has ensured that he's the next in line. Samoa Joe vacating the Ring of Honor TV title makes all the sense in the world still. As in the words of Noel Gallagher, it was all part of a master plan. And I don't know if you can tell, I just don't feel that Mr. Tofu is a main event man in AEW.
So, Joe... How did he get in the... So his conversation midway through the show with Jay White...
He's hoodwinked him.
That was to get in the match.
He's lured him in with a false sense of security.
And Jay White... So how did Jay White get him in the match?
Because they had the chat and then they went and spoke to Tony Khan. That was a line about the big man confirming it. That's Tony Khan is the big man.
The big man.
Right. I don't know.
I'm worried that Samoa Joe leaving that title in the ring is going to make no sense... coming out of this year.
That's Ring of Honor TV title. Yeah. It was weird.
Why would he
it?
Vacate that?
I guess they wanted to keep him strong, but realised, he's still got a belt when you get that off him.
So if he doesn't come out of this with at least a proper world title match against MJF, he looks like a right dick.
Yeah.
In the match itself, though, he could try and just win that match and then he'd won the belt anyway.
But it's Samoa Joe, though, isn't it?
Play mind games.
He wants that one-on-one.
He's going to take the one-on-one.
I'm on the fence as well about this because on one hand, I just want to see MJF and Jay White have that whole blow off and have the story maybe come to a close there because I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how it concludes. Genuinely, yeah.
I feel like it needs the devil angle to spice it up.
Well, that's what I mean.
That's what I mean.
I think that's going to be in there. But I mean, then at the same time, I'm like, who wants Samoa Joe in there at the same time as well? Be quite nice.
I'm going to give it a no. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, no. No, that was a really sad face he just did.
No, Ross!
But it's the pre-show bit where Joe gets pinned by the guns. Or MJF, I don't know which one, but either way.
Joe fights valiantly, he gets pinned by the guns.
Damn. It's
just a no for me, but it's not like a fully down no.
I heard what you said.
I'm sorry.
Joe gets pinned by the guns because of interference from Juice Robinson and Jay White right there.
We'll take it.
So if we add that into there, so Joe doesn't look silly by being beaten by the guns.
But then he has a chat with them later on.
Well, you can squash the beef.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing it on purpose. It's just business. He's like, can I? Excuse me, I know you beat me, but please, can I get in this match later on as well?
Okay.
And then they're like, hey, we just beat him anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Has anyone ever gotten three no's before? Because that was my whatever. That was my Hail Mary, whatever the saying is.
Well, that was your safe one. That was your safe. Wait, that was a Hail Mary, so that was your long shot?
Or is that what Hail Mary means?
It's like
not
a
American.
Desperate heave.
Oh, that was my banger. That was my best work.
I don't know if anyone's ever got three. I doubt it. But
how could you get three no's? Wait, how could you get three no's?
Because the whole video.
I thought you were going to say no to your own thing.
I've got a no with that one. And it's not getting any higher
from
me.
I'm sorry. I'm going to give it a no as well. I'm sorry. He loves it.
He wants three no's. Oh.
We need to start saying yes to his bitches so that it gets him back into it again.
I'm going
to
do a sting. I'm going to announce this is my last
ever. No. There's another one next week.
If anyone gets three no's, I've got a lever here and I pull it and actually let your head drop and disappear. Right, Andrew.
Yeah. This is my...
Very small font I've noticed there.
This is my bit. Do you know what? I always got told off for using small font. At like uni and that, they were like, use bigger font.
But you're saving the environment.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm saving the environment. Yeah. That's exactly what my thought process was at the time.
With those gaps though, does that font not appear like 12 point to you, whereas like it's 9 point to us?
Maybe. Gaps.
Glasses.
Oh, with me glasses.
Is that not a Yorkshire thing as well?
No.
The gaps.
Me,
the glasses.
I don't know. Me goggles. Right. Mine's also in relation to the MJF stuff surrounding all that. All right, everybody. Pre-show match. MJF and a mystery partner defending the ROH tag team titles against the Guns. Austin and Colton are flanked by Juice Robinson and Jay White. However, MJF makes his way to the ring alone. He takes the mic and says he just can't trust anyone in the back other than his bro Chacho Adam Cole, who is sadly still healing. So he's going solo tonight, just like he did at WrestleDream. And whilst it might not be the greatest of ideas, given the fact he's defending the world title later in the evening, knowing how much the Ring of Honor tag titles means to his bezzy mate is enough to spur him on to bulldoze straight through these schmucks. Ooh. Granted, this may now be a 2-on-1 handicap match, but really it's become more like a 4-on-1 as all the members of Bullet Club Gold square up to MJF looking to get a cheeky beatdown in before the bell rings. That is, until we hear a Maxwell! Maxwell! Yes, it's Roddy Strong, everybody, and the Kingdom. Roddy pleads with Max to let him be his partner tonight, as the champ isn't the only one who knows how much these titles mean to Cole. Before Max can properly reply, though, he's attacked from behind by Bullet Club Gold, whilst Taven, Bennett, and Roddy slide into the ring to clean house. The bell rings and it's official. Roddy will be MJF's partner, whether he likes it or not.
Whether he wants to or not.
Yes, and to begin with, MJF, he doesn't like it. But as the match progresses, we see that there's some synergy there between the two. They're both doing this for the best friend, after all. However, it's not to be, as a misjudged kangaroo kick from MJF sends Roddy careening into the turnbuckle and clutching his neck. A distracted MJF, now checking on Strong, gets tossed to the outside by the Guns, who hit that 310 to Yuma elevated neckbreaker on Strong for the win.
Your pardon?
I googled
the 310 to Yuma elevated neckbreaker.
That's their finisher. Apparently it's a film.
It's a film, yeah.
It's a western.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's like in tribute to the Billy Gunn, his dad's team with Bart.
The smoking guns.
The smoking guns,
Cowboys.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah. So they hit that move on Strong for the win. The Guns become the new Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. After the match, MJF is distraught. He approaches Roddy sitting in the corner of the ring, still holding onto his neck, but Strong is having none of it. He even accuses MJF of doing this on purpose to make him look bad in the eyes of Adam Cole. But even as MJF tries to assure Roddy that honestly wasn't the case at all, here comes Taven and Bennett. Wiener punch, pile driver combo that leaves MJF, a man who also has neck issues. I put Nick issues by accident there, but neck issues. Probably doesn't have a problem with any Nicks. Nicholas.
Probably doesn't AEW though, am I
oh,
right?
Oh, am I right? Nick Jackson, eh? Oh. Who has Nick and neck issues, lifeless in the middle of the ring to close out the pre-show. Now we go to the main event, a battered MJF defending the world title against Jay White. And you know what, everybody? It's a bloody lovely match, but you can sense the paranoia between the two in regards to the happenings leading up to it. Jay White targets MJF's neck, hitting Blade Runners, maybe even Max's own Heat Seeker head spike thing, but nothing can put the champ away. Interestingly, we even get a ref bump, but there's no interference, everybody. Not even from Bullet Club Gold or the Kingdom / Roddy Strong. Beard stroke. Do-do-do-do, as Ross said earlier. But we do get a title belt strike to the head from Jay White to bust up on Max just for good measure, because we love a good visual, don't we, yeah? Instead, the match focuses on these two having an absolute banger, and because he's our scumbag, MJF pulls it out of the bag to retain the AEW World Championship. As he celebrates with what little energy he has left, the arena goes dark. The video screens suddenly flicker to reveal four figures clad in black with masks on. Two of the figures step to one side to reveal the Guns and Juice Robinson, laid out, beaten bloody in a heap. And the other two remaining figures step to the adjacent side to reveal they're standing atop a stairwell with an unconscious Roderick Strong still sat in his wheelchair. Suddenly, we hear the Kingdom. They're pulled into frame. They're shouting Roddy's name, begging the figures not to do this. But against their wishes, one of the figures goes full Brock Lesnar, Zach Gowen, and tosses Roderick Strong down the stairs, whilst the remaining three figures beat down Taven and Bennett.
But he's not really paralyzed, though.
Yeah, but he's already unconscious in the chair. He's already unconscious in
the
chair,
really,
all right?
Committed to the
yes. Absolutely. And then the video screens flicker again to reveal the figure in the devil masks, solitary in a black room before the familiar beep of an answering machine can be heard. In a callback to All Out 2022, we hear Tony Khan's voice, and he says, "So, it's been a few months now, and as much as it pains me to say, your absence is hurting the company, and it's hurting me with how abruptly things played out.
Oh, my God.
The table's not stirred.
I know at this point you probably don't care about me, but I care, and I care about keeping this company afloat in the conversation. If you're willing to show up and work things out, then I'm willing to swallow a very bitter pill for the good of the company." And
it's
then
Cody
click.
Rose.
No, sure. As the lights return, the devil stands face to face with MJ. As the other four figures surround the two, the devil slowly begins to hold his arms out. He raises his arms up as the four figures attack the champion. One figure hoists MJF up for a monstrous powerbomb. Two of them hit a big rig on MJF, and one of them hits him with a literal spike between the eyes before revealing a jar filled with thumbtacks. The figure stuffs them into MJF's mouth before the devil hoists the champ up onto his shoulders and hits a devastating GTS.
Yeah.
With the champ out cold on the floor, the figures begin revealing their faces. We've got Wardlow. We've got FTR. This one might surprise you. We've got a very, not nice, a very, very evil Danhausen.
Okay.
And the devil himself, CM Punk.
Yes.
And that's the devil. He's back. He's back, baby.
But what does it mean for Samoa Joe? That's the main thing I'm worried about.
Also, you've already got tension there between Wardlow and CM Punk, because Wardlow wants to title shot as well, you know?
Exactly. Right, so okay, there's still thing, there's still friction in there, you know, but there's still the factor is that they all just don't like MJF a lot. Even so, I know Danhausen might have been a weird one to throw in there, right? Danhausen, big buddy with CM Punk. Danhausen's also said in interviews before that he wants to curse Adam Cole and MJF because of all the friendship stuff that they do on TV. They should be punching each other. Danhausen in the past has had like an more evil persona with different face paint and everything
He's been disgruntled on social media recently.
So it could work very nicely.
It's not what we think is going to happen, because I really don't think Punk's coming back.
No.
But it's a yes from me.
Thank you. Thank you.
I do think the phone call might be used, though, for the devil. I do think that's a callback that might go to. I do like Wardlow being in that position in that group as well, because immediately it's like Batista. He's like Batista and Punk's like Triple H in that group straight away. You're thinking, oh, he does want the title, but he's now being second fiddle to CM Punk. So I'll give it a yes.
Thank you.
But what does it mean for Samoa Joe?
Well, Samoa Joe can have a match again at some point later. Final end. The end. The world's end.
I can sleep soundly tonight.
There you go.
Very nice stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, I was always going to get my yes, but you've got Ross's.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. I was a bit worried with the CM Punk thing. Oh, man.
Do you see his tease on Instagram?
The devil thing, yeah.
That makes me think less, for sure.
He's having a bit of fun.
I said on Twitter, I think he's doing it out of spite because if it's Jungle Boy, especially, because he'll want to hype it up so that it falls flat when it's not.
It's going to be Jungle Boy, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it is going to be Jungle Boy.
All the references, the glass and whatnot.
But then they were doing all the references and all the stuff towards CM Punk as well, with like children references and this, that, and the other.
What?
Like, that sounds really bad. But I think in like the promo Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho did with the Young Bucks backstage, there was like references to them being children. And stuff like that. So
that's just because they can't resist taking shots.
We'd be thoroughly sports entertained, though, wouldn't we, if it was C. Montgomery Punk?
100%.
Absolutely.
I'd be game. The collision
is
faltered.
Yeah, I agree. I was one of them people to begin with that was like, it's fine. He's gone. Like, I'm not that fussed. And now I'm eating my words. I'm eating my words big time. And I know Jack was right all along.
No, it was still the right call.
It was still the right call, but let's bring him back. Let's see what happens
How
again.
How many fights did you... whatever.
I started with CM Punk. Mine also concerns the MJF Jay White match. But earlier in the night, MJF reluctantly takes up the offer. He teams with Samoa Joe to beat the Guns and retain those Ring of Honor tag team titles. Later in the main event, MJF almost has the match won, but Jay White grabs the referee and distracts him. As he does so, Juice Robinson slides in and prepares to nail MJF with his knockoff version of the Dynamite Diamond Ring. However, just before he can do so, he's absolutely destroyed by Samoa Joe, who wants MJF to keep the belt, as Ross said, so he can still get that title shot that he was promised. MJF ultimately wins the match and celebrates. Joe slides in the ring as MJF celebrates, and MJF reluctantly extends a hand to him. He says, "Yep, fair play, you've helped me retain the belt there." Joe smiles and then immediately drops MJF with a big right hand. He locks in the Coquina clutch as officials all swarm the ring, desperately trying to pull him off. Desperately trying to get him off to stop the submission.
Full gear, all right.
Then the lights go down. When they come back on, we see that Joe's released MJF from the hold to prepare for whatever's about to happen. MJF woozily gets back to his feet as well. Across the ring from them, it's the man in the devil mask and his assorted helpers. The officials all get out of there as the masked assailants all beat Joe down, leaving MJF untouched and confused in a different corner of the ring. Once Joe is taken care of, the man in the devil mask then extends his hand to MJF, as if welcoming him into the group. Now, an old version of MJF would probably have said yes in this situation, but this is a changed man. MJF bravely says no. He calls for a mic and says, "I know it's you, Jungle Jerk." Has he called him that? Does he call him that?
Maybe. Sounds like something he would do.
Yeah, it does. "I know it's you, Jungle Jerk, and I've always hated you. I wouldn't stand by your side in a million years." He gets annihilated as a result and is left slumped on the canvas alongside Samoa Joe. Finally, the members of the Masked Gang begin to unmask. They are... And I've said I'm not sure if the body shapes match up particularly well, because we've seen them in these backstage segments and they're all quite big strapping. Well, these are all different shapes and sizes. But Scorpio Sky, Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Quinn, first time we've seen him in a long time, and Nyla Rose. The leader in the devil mask grabs the dropped mic and turns to face the hard cam. And he says, "I'm not a devil. I'm a bastard." And he takes off the devil mask. And it's Pac. And he explains why everybody's in the group. They're all basically former featured stars of the early days of AEW, now barely seen on TV. They've been underutilized and they're all annoyed with Tony Khan and the establishment. Got some suggested names for the group as well.
Oh, excited.
The Bastards.
Yep.
The Horrible Bastards. Pack and Pals. The Pack. Because Pack's real name is Ben. Benny and the Gets. Like, you'll get. That's a Geordie thing. The pre-pandemic posse. Why have I put this one? Pack the Jobber.
Oh, nice.
Pack the Jobber. They're all jobbers now.
Yeah.
And pack your bags, you're off to the Isle of Fernando. That's it. There we go. There's a new team on the scene.
It feels like, you know those manatees on South Park?
They get the ball.
It feels like every roster member's a ball. Pack was picked, and then there. I like the thought behind it. The angle of it not utilized anymore when the once before. But I just can't accept the people involved. So it's going to be it's a three quarters no.
That it's the same for me, unfortunately, as well. I feel like the reveal has to be something big
massive for
it to really hit, and I'm very scared that it's not going to be as big as maybe what we're all building it up to be. Don't worry,
it's going to be big.
It's going to. But I do like the fact that you put people in there that like as Ross said, don't get utilized.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame that a lot of them just don't get used as much
anymore.
It is
a shame, isn't
Where it? Is Mark Quinn?
Where's Scorpio Sky?
Joel, could you do a Google search of Mark Quinn?
There was a recent news story about this, that he's still recovering from injury, but it feels like it's been years
for
now.
3 years, though.
I don't know.
Big injury. Mm. Yeah, where is Scorpio Sky? Because he came back for that collision, right? And it was a good match. And
he's the face of the revolution.
This is just how they book him. Gone. They use him for a little while, then they just let him go for a little bit, and then bring him back for a little while.
Philly.
They've got too many wrestlers.
There is a lot of wrestlers. A
lot of wrestlers.
There's a lot of wrestlers.
So to know... I'm in the running for 3-0 as well. I'm excited.
I'm on the fence because, as I say, as Ross said, I do like it. I do like the people you've put in there, but I just feel like it's got to be bigger.
Fair enough. Ross.
Hey, guys. Did you know that evidence suggests an asteroid impact was the main culprit for wiping out the dinosaurs? So we get to the match to see Sting, Darby Allin and Adam Copeland with Ric Flair, it says on Wikipedia, so I'm not going to doubt that at all, who are going to take on Christian Cage, Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne. The match is trundling along fine as the heels get some heat.
That's what you want to
have. Yeah, exactly. And the baby faces get some baby facing in as well. Eventually, we get to the point where we're going to see a big hot tag with both teams involved. But instead of the iconoclast, as he likes to call himself, Adam Copeland, smashing down the heels, it's the dinosaur class Luchasaurus who takes on all comers instead. It's not the real hot tag you would expect from a professional wrestling match. He takes down so many all comers, does Luchasaurus, that eventually he's forced to turn his attentions to Ric Flair because there's nobody else left. He's wiped them all out. However, Ric Flair seduces Luchasaurus, which leads to Copeland scoring a shoot roll-up victory for the babyface team, with the babyfaces and Ric Flair celebrating at the top of the ramp by cracking open a few cans of AEW's primary drink sponsor, Ric Flair Juice. I forgot the name.
Oh no!
With five drinks. The primary sponsor.
What kind? Like a beer?
Like an energy drink? Yeah, Ric Flair Juice.
Woo energy.
Christian in the ring starts to abuse his son, the dinosaur, Luchasaurus. The abuse goes too far, so far that Luchasaurus is now visibly raging. So visibly raging, he's hot under his collar. He's now wearing a shirt for some reason because of this interaction with Ric Flair as well. But he's also boiling because he's getting abused by his own father live on pay-per-view. That was a bit of a mess of a paragraph, but we move on. Because of this, the dinosaur, out of sheer anger, starts to shake. And the shaking gets so... whatever the word is there, the stage starts to shake, the building starts to shake. What's going on? Screams Excalibur. Then boom! An asteroid hits the roof of the Kia Forum in Inglewood, California. And in the process, Ric Flair, Adam Copeland, Paul White, the Hardys, Jim Ross, Kevin Kelly, Alex Abrahentes, and any other older folk who feel like they're dragging AEW away from the original, you know, professional wrestling revolution promise that we did in the early going, are wiped out of the company and never heard from again. I've left Jeff Jarrett, Christian, and people like that off the list because they are actually contributing some good stuff. Yeah. But AEW has strayed away from the mission statement. And I do concede that a large part of that might be down to the broadcasters, what they want, rather than what TK wants to do. But it's time to get back to the glory days. And the first step is to bring down an asteroid that will wipe out the old folk like an asteroid did to the dinosaurs back in the day.
Well, Luchasaurus.
He's fine.
He is a dinosaur.
It's a different kind of asteroid.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's
yeah.
a dinosaur-friendly asteroid.
It is. I told Mojo One was up there, and we're going down there.
It's a yes for me, actually.
Ooh.
I know.
I'll take the yes.
Well, I just...
We're not getting three no's.
We're not, but I just... I like the result. I like the outcome, getting it back to what it used to be and everything.
Mass death.
I'm just a bit worried that this is your... Because this has got third pitch of the day all written all over it. But it's only pitch number two.
I'm changing up a bit. I've put pitch three, pitch two for a time, you know. I've worried about, you know, retention rates and whatnot, which I probably just killed off there at the end of the video.
I actually agree as well. I'm going to say yes to the asteroid too. I don't know what it is. I just don't think a lot of the... A lot of maybe like the older roster and these people that have brought in for the nostalgia factor, a lot of them don't really hit too well, at least for me anyway. So it does feel sort of like redundant maybe having them on TV as often as they do when those spots could go to, you know.
You know what brought around this pitch? People. It was the Kevorka of Paul White on Collision last weekend. He was way, way, way too confident.
Why, what were he?
Because he was having a stand down where, like, Powerhouse Hobbs. Yeah. It looked like they were going to do a spot
I do remember,
when Paul White was going to get put through the announce table, but he was just stood there like, well, I don't care.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Scared them all off.
Yeah. He's just getting ready for that street fight this week.
I'm terrified, though. With all due respect, his leg is bending the wrong way in the middle.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
What?
yeah, it's
on
not
the
good.
News today with Tom, apparently parts of that have been pre-recorded. It's going to be a bit cinematic.
That makes a lot of sense. Even more terrifying.
mark my words, because it's a Yakuza like a dragon thing. Someone will pop out of a bin.
I was about to say, what's the reference? It's a Yakuza game.
Is it? Yeah. It's right. The new Yakuza game that's out.
I feel like that's passed me by 100%. Yeah.
Someone will pop out of a bin.
Why is it? What's Sega got to do with it?
They publish it.
I thought they weren't around anymore.
No, they're still around, yeah.
Sega?
Yeah, the console.
Sega.
Yeah. There's no Sega consoles, but they still publish games. And they still make games as well.
It's a mystery to me.
Why don't they make consoles anymore?
Just because they got absolutely decimated.
They lost a Nintendo in the wars back in the day. I knew that.
I remember the Dreamcast.
Dreamcast was buzzing. I don't think it sold too well, though.
Well, no, the 64 wiped out, didn't it? Anyway.
Like I don't think it was the 64. Might have been the PlayStation. Well, maybe not the 64.
Oh, right, it was because of Sony, right?
It was just because of the... I don't know. Never mind.
So that someone will pop out of a bin, you're saying?
Yes, someone will pop out of a bin.
How? Like, what do you mean?
Is that in the game?
Yes, there's a guy called Majima that just, like, pops out at random points
like
throughout and has a fight with you.
Grouchy? Groucho?
Groucho. The bin man.
The bin green
from
thing.
Bin green. Yeah.
Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch. That's the one. Grouchy. Greeny Grouch.
And I bet there's some sort of Sonic reference, surely, as well.
No, well, it's like a dragon.
It's Sega, though.
Harkening too much on that. I don't
Spyro
think
Spyro the Dragon.
No, well, that was Insomniac. Right? It's Activision now.
It's AEW. They're not going to be able to resist doing a Sonic reference. Everybody watch. Right? Remember what he said.
I remember what I said.
There'll be a Sonic reference.
There will be a
one of the Jacksons will come out, like, running along.
they're going to be in fancy dress, aren't they?
Oh, God.
One will be Sonic. One will be Tails. One will be Knuckles.
Mm.
One will be Sonic with a
gun. No, wait, because it's... No, they Sonic won't. Had a gun. They won't.
They brought out a Sonic once where he had a gun.
That was Shadow the Hedgehog. That was Shadow the Hedgehog.
Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yes, and he had a gun.
He was Sonic, but with like black fur. And he had
it's Venom, I see.
Not Venom, no. Shadow the Hedgehog is different.
Why did he have a piece like on Anderson?
Because it was in the days where GTA was popular, and they were like, just give him a gun.
I'm enjoying this lesson on gaming.
It's good, yeah, cheers. Thanks.
Can we have your...
Yeah, you can have my second pitch. It's a yes, Ross, for the...
Sorry,
for
I thought you were giving your...
No, for the mass, for the mass asteroid murders. Okay. TBS title time, and I'm going to say that Sky Blue beats Red Velvet this week on Dynamite and advances as a third person in this match. So we've got Chris Statlander defending against Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Very early on, Julia Hart tries to establish an alliance with Sky Blue to take Statlander out of the equation, but the TBS champion thwarts any attempt of camaraderie between the two by launching herself at Hart before any deal can be made. It soon becomes clear, though, that Blue has her own agenda. She's seemingly not fussed about making allies. She wants that championship and doesn't hesitate to go after both opponents. As Sky Blue's aggression ramps up throughout the match, though, so does Julia Hart's satisfaction at seeing what's unfolding before her. Hart even sits back on occasion just to observe Sky, almost brutal, almost pleased with what she's witnessing. There's plenty of back and forth from all three competitors, but it all culminates when Sky Blue looks to hit the code blue on Statlander. But as she does so, Julia also manages to hit the mist in the TBS champion's face. Sky Blue connects with the move, but Julia swoops in from behind, grabs Blue, tosses her over the ropes, allowing Hart to hit the moonsault from the turnbuckle to Statlander for the 1-2-3. Julia Hart is now the new TBS champion. Following the match, we can see that Sky Blue is livid at coming so close to winning the title. She gets in the ring, ready to square up to Julia, but the new TBS champion quickly darts out of there and up the ramp with a smile on her face. Statlander gets to her feet and extends out a hand to Blue as a show of respect, who, after a brief hesitation, accepts Statlander's offer, but with ulterior motives as she pulls the former champion to the ground and locks in Julia's heartless submission, all whilst looking directly up the ramp towards Hart herself. Cue Willow Nightingale, she storms to the ring to break this up. Sky Blue breaks the hold as Willow enters the ring and stands there emotionless, just looking straight past Nightingale and fixating a stare on Hart instead. Willow tries to console her friend. She asks her what's going on, but after failing to get a response from Blue, she shakes her head and tries to pass her in order to check on Statlander. But as she does, Sky Blue spins Willow around and misses her right in the face. Once again, Blue turns to face Julia.
Miss. Huh? What color mist?
This is not a blue mist this time. It's a black mist, like Julia Hart's mist. But once again, Blue turns to face Julia, who stands atop of the rampway smiling. I was thinking about putting these two together after this match. I would rather like to see them two have a match, maybe at the World's End thing, and then get together for the TBS Championship. So I didn't want to do it straight away. There's a bit of a turn there.
No, there we go. I think I agree with it. I don't know, because Statlander is more of like a worker. She's got more experience than Julia to carry the sort of this title on TV and stuff. But in terms of like the storyline and everything, it's a yes from me.
Thank you.
I agree with Julia getting the title.
Yeah.
Because she is getting the reactions, I think. Mm-hmm. But I also agree with Sky Blue not immediately joining Julia because that seems a bit too predictable.
I think like the thing that's been sort of going on with this storyline is that it feels like Julia has been softening both Willow and Sky Blue up to then finally like have one turn on the other.
But
so then to like...
Willow knows how to fight off the mist somehow.
Yeah, she just wipes her eye and then it's gone.
Well, she's such a pure baby face.
Yeah, we've seen that before, haven't we? When someone gets misted and they're a bit weird for a few weeks and then they kind of just like fine after a little while. But then some people, it takes over.
Yeah.
Like Shadow the Hedgehog.
Sky Blue as well. She's like Sonic.
Yeah.
She's
what blue. Would she be called? Like
Sky Black.
Sky Black sounds pretty good, actually.
Venom.
Black Sky.
Venom.
Venom Blue.
Venom Blue. I like Maybe, it.
What's the opposite of the sky? Ground.
The ground. Ground zero.
Ground blue.
Ground blue. Blue, blue ground. Green sky. Yep.
You've got two yeses.
Thank you.
Mine concerns the other women's title. Hikaru Shida defending against Timeless Toni Storm. Despite this match being very much billed as Toni Storm's Hollywood homecoming, being in Los Angeles and everything, she shockingly loses to Hikaru Shida, who retains the title clean. This sets off something in Toni's head and she absolutely snaps. She storms to the back with Luther in tow. We're seeing Gorilla Storm demand to speak to Tony Khan, who's busy at the production table. So Storm throws an almighty tantrum, banging stuff on the desk. Maybe she hits a button by accident and a random bit of pyro goes off in the arena as a result.
That's cool.
Thank you.
I like that.
I nicked that from Randy Orton. He did it once. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
He had like, there was like a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
He was like mashing the production
That's
stuff.
That's cool.
Mm. Thanks.
I like it.
Cheers. Yeah. It's going well. As this happens, Tony's like, whoa, okay. Let's go and talk. I'll go and talk with you. They go around a corner heading for Tony's office, but at Storm's command, Luther immediately bonks Tony on the head and knocks him out, scoops him over his shoulder, and they just set off running with the owner of the company. Maybe there are several hilarious skits peppered throughout the rest of the night of Storm and Luther hiding from security, maybe at one point having to do the Toy Story thing with Tony's unconscious body around a corner, pretending to... like the books or someone that he's awake and he's like, hi guys, just me. Look at you, you're loving it.
He would look funny in that role, Tony Khan.
That would just be like, so good.
Yeah. maybe a bit where he wakes up at a hilariously inopportune time and shouts for help, and Storm has to pretend that it was actually her making the noise while Luther carries him off to a different part of the building. We also keep cutting back to, I want to say, Brian Danielson at Gorilla filling in for Tony, because we know that apparently he's got a certain amount of creative control and stuff. Just wondering, where is Tony, lads? What's he doing? Anyway, Storm and Luther eventually make it to the car park and drive off with Khan in the back. If he can resist tweeting for a few days, I think this would also help the angle. On the following episode of Dynamite, Storm messages in from her black and white apartment, explaining that it wasn't a kidnapping, just creative differences between the star of the show and her director. It happens all the time in Hollywood. Also, I've put, if there's one role I think Tony Khan is born for, it's the victim of a hostage situation. Just imagine him just so panicked in the apartment, just like, natural. What follows are weeks of hilarious film referencing skits. Khan with the Wind, Casablanca Khan, Citizen Khan. Meanwhile, in Tony's absence, a big power struggle goes on at AEW. Brian's trying to do a good job as Khan's kind of unofficial deputy. Maybe the Young Bucks start to throw their weight around. Does Kenny Omega help them or stand in their way? What does Hangman make of all of this? Maybe CM Punk sneaks back in for a week or two. That one doesn't need to happen. But I put the possibilities are literally endless. And I've just left it a bit open-ended there.
It's tremendous. you had me at the Toy Story bit,
right?
The Tony
Story
bit.
I
could not stop thinking about that once you said that. There could be a skit, you know, where they do like, you know, security are chasing them. They go through one door, but then they come out of another door.
Yeah, the Scooby Doo.
Yeah.
And then they're chasing the security, and they're like, wait.
Yeah.
They could time this in train tracks, and then say like, this is a different kind of rails than you're used to, Tony Khan. These won't go up your nose.
Oh dear.
Yeah. I'm really sad you've done that pitch there, because I've got a timeless Tony Storm one and it's nowhere near as good as that one.
It's the
difference is that big. I feel like I should just get up and leave.
No, there's no point.
There's no point.
It's next as well.
I know. There's no point.
No, there is a point. It might just be different.
There's no point. It's like Home Alone 4 coming after Home Alone 3.
Yeah,
classic followed by...
Are you one of the Home Alone 3?
Yes, yeah, I am. This
may,
is my town.
Ross are the big defenders of Home Alone 3.
Okay.
Don't.
Shut up, man.
Don't.
It's just...
You haven't seen it, have you?
Not as good. I used to have it on video.
Yeah, that was
the only one I had on video.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Home Alone 3.
This is Hess, the redemption arc.
And even I, as a child, was... utterly disappointed with what I was watching.
What, really? As a
because
kid, there was a remote control car.
Do you know why I was even more disappointed? Because we'd gone to the shop to get 101 Dalmatians, the film.
The
right?
live action one? Or
the live action one,
right, okay.
When that had just come out. And got home and it was Home Alone 3. Disappointment.
In the box?
Yeah.
It was in the wrong box.
A disappointment.
No, it's an upgrade.
No.
Where did you buy it from?
Co-op.
Shame on the co-op.
No. It's a good...
Disappointing.
It is a good film.
Scarlett Johansson's in it. Her finest role.
Is she?
Yeah, she's Alex's older sister.
Oh.
Steady now.
Got her.
I don't think she's of age in that film.
No, she's definitely not. Because I think she was only 17 in Lost in Translation. And she
even weirder, isn't it?
That one's weirder because she's flirting with Bill Murray in that. Yeah. Good film, I like it.
Very good film.
Really good
film. Good soundtrack.
Yeah, Brass in Pocket. Yeah.
My Bloody Valentine. Are we
by
talking
Machine
about
Gun Kelly? Yeah.
No.
But also Home Alone.
My Bloody Valentine.
But also Home Alone 3.
Yeah.
This Is My Town, the song that Ross was doing there. Really good.
Oh, okay.
You smacked my winky, one of the all-time classic film lines.
I used to think that was David Schwimmer.
It does look like David Schwimmer.
He looks a bit like him, but with blue eyes. Yeah.
Is it different Roberts?
He's dead
in
now.
This one.
Rest in peace.
In 3?
In 3.
Yeah, there's... Oh, what? No.
He's dead now. Not David Schwimmer.
Oh, right.
The guy who played the David Schwimmer lookalike.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah, it's different.
I hope he is now. I've said that.
It's not Joe Pesci in the other one.
Is it?
No, it's four of them. They're like international spies. They're
trying to get a chip out of a remote controlled
car. A car, the car. Yeah. Mm. I remember the car, yeah.
It's got Doris the hamster.
Rat.
The rat.
The rat. The
parrot that sings Bad, Bad Leroy Brown.
There's nothing to hate about Home Alone 3. I'll read mine out. Timeless Tony Storm defeats Hikaru Shida for the AEW Women's World
Title. Just
during her acceptance speech following the match, Tony is interrupted by Mariah May, who informs Tony that she will be working alongside Luther to provide her all that she needs. But she's also been speaking to Tony Khan and hands over a gift in an envelope, such as befitting of a star of Tony's class and sophistication. Tony starts to read the letter that's inside the envelope. Gadzooks, she says. He's only gone and given it the green light. And then Pip, no, it isn't. Tony announces that she'll be going on the Timeless Tony Tribute Tour with the AEW Women's World Championship, with viewings available at all of your local theatres. During the TTTT, Tony will be hosting a series of open challenges against anyone from the history of the professional wrestling business. And Mariah May is going to be in her corner to make sure the right outcome always happens. So what it is that I'm pitching is, sadly, is via the usage of holograms and pre-taped cinematic matches, Timeless Tony Storm takes the AEW Women's World title on a tour of the history books of professional wrestling. Imagine the matches she can have against the likes of household names like Mildred Burke, mm-hmm. through Mae Young in her prime with her shoot vertebraker, Medusa, Miss Congeniality in ECW, if you know her work, Awesome Kong, all the way through to the current day. So that was that. That's the end of that pitch.
No, I like that.
Crap in it. In the
no, world. No, it's good. It's different. Good. It's good.
I like it as well. Like it. I'm giving it a yes.
Oh, God. I feel a bit hypocritical saying yes.
It's got nothing to do with Home Alone 3.
I know it doesn't have. When we were talking about the asteroid before wiping out some of the older members
different.
Of the
room, this is different
because they are holograms and therefore.
Because they're dead.
Because they're already gone from
not
an asteroid.
Of
some of them.
I don't think Mildred Burke will be around.
No,
so
no.
I'm going to give
Mae
it
Young.
A yes.
No,
Mae
Young.
Well.
Yeah.
Not including Moolah, by the way.
That's no, God.
To hell with her.
God. My God. Wendy Richter.
Up the Wendy Richter, yeah.
Leilani Kai.
All the household names.
Both of the Jumping Bomb Angels.
Big Bertha.
Big Bertha. Yeah,
big imagine
Bertha.
That match.
That would be pretty good.
China. Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
All through the use of holograms.
It's coming, though. Mm. Wrestling with holograms is coming.
Well, we had it in the with the Bray Wyatt stuff back in the with the John Cena stuff, right? Or was it Daniel Bryan? Do you remember in the cell?
Oh, when he got distracted. That's not what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean actually.
Oh, you mean like actually grappling?
You know when they have
the
concerts where Tupac appears?
Yeah.
That's
yes.
sort of caliber.
Has anyone
hologram.
Listened to the new Beatles songs? I've not.
Crap in it.
Yeah, it's
oh, is
rubbish.
It bad?
Yeah. I think it's. I don't know. Well, Joel.
It's a Beatles
Joel
song.
Joel is a big Beatles fan.
It's a Beatles song, isn't it, Joel? Right. You're not getting your microphone on, Joel. Come on, Joel. Let's see what you want.
I thought it was all right.
But considering they started working on this in 1994. And then stopped, and then got a better. Well, they got more technology to utilize John's vocals better. It's a bit of a letdown.
It is a bit. It kind of feels like two different songs, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
John's vocals and then the drum and bass coming in after it.
It's a drum and bass song. It's a Beatles.
Jungle is massive, said Paul McCartney.
Fantastic.
It's all right though, but it's just a Beatles song.
I don't know.
They should have tried to update it for the kids. There should be like a dubstep drop. I wanna hold you.
I'll tell you what, shout out to Yoko. She could have done something else with that tape, but she gave it to the lads.
Yeah, she could have done. Fair good enough. On her. Good on her.
Good on Yoko.
Right, my final one's dead short, so we'll be through it before you know it, all right? Now that I'm coming to talk about him, like, this could have just happened on a Dynamite or a collision, but it's happening on Full Gear anyway. All right, everybody. So it's a super simple final one. With all the hysteria and paranoia surrounding the mystery of who the devil is, you know, the production play into this notion, and sometime following the four-way tag team title match at Full Gear, the cameras hastily cut backstage to the locker room where commentary inform us that they've heard a recent attack has just occurred, my goodness. As the cameras make their way through the locker room doors, however, it isn't a group of masked figures just causing issues. It is indeed, in fact, one now wifeless man, Miro, who stands over the bodies of Roosh and Drillistico of LFI. Miro turns to the camera and says, "This isn't the work of gods or devils. This is the inevitable. Free from temptation, free of love, free of pain, I will show you the path of the righteous," as he slowly holds up Andrade's black mask. And that's it.
Miro's
in LFI now.
No, he's beat them up.
But yeah, Andrade's not aligned with them anymore.
No, but like, but there was, I think, on Collision, like at the start of one of the collisions recently, there was a little bit there that see, they're still mates and everything. Oh, but Andrade's got to go off on.
I thought
his
he was off on his own,
off on his path. He's lonesome, you know what I mean? He still can have friends though, can't he?
No, that's how wrestling works.
He can
works.
Still have friends, and therefore he absolutely batters LFI.
Yeah, I guess that's a yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a no.
Oh. Okay.
We've seen many false starts with LFI, and it feels like they might be doing something with them now, with all these promo packages.
But that's fine. They can still do stuff. Just have Miro beat them up, so then Andrade is like
geeks, though.
Yeah, you've made them like right cucks.
That'd be right, what? Yeah, but Miro looks dead good then, though.
You've made them look like cucks by a man who was actually being cucked at the moment.
That's true.
But he's being cucked on purpose because he's trying to save his wife from the materialistic things that come with being a successful manager in the professional wrestling business. He's cucking himself. And you're cooking the cucks of the cook that cooked himself.
I am cooking the cucks.
How much cuck could a woodcocker?
It's a no. It's not the most drastic.
It's just
note.
To progress it a bit further between. The
what
two.
Are they doing with that storyline?
It's too abstract.
She was hugging Andrade. She looked like she enjoyed Daniel Garcia's hip thrusts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what
I
they were doing.
It's just gonna be Miro just decimating everybody she manages.
He never wrestles, really.
Well, that's why this sets it up for down the line.
Yeah, it does.
You know, there you go.
Take the no, Andrew.
I'll take in the no. I'm just saying.
Hold on your hats, everyone. It's time for another of my classic themed battle royals.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. This is when I can never think of a third pitch. This Full Gear is in Hollywood. So here's it's not. It's in Inglewood, but it's in it's in LA. So here's a star-studded 20-man battle royal extravaganza. The winner gets to star as Tony Khan in AEW the movie.
Oh.
Number one, Zac Efron, star of The Iron Claw, which looks like it actually might be really good. It's getting good reviews, isn't it?
And although, he turned up, didn't he, at a wrestling show?
Did he?
Some moves, yeah. Oh. So he's a legitimate contender in this now.
Oh, yeah. Do please think who you want to win and everything.
Okay.
Number two, David Arquette, former WCW World Heavyweight Champion and Efron. Also actor. The big W from the Hollywood sign is number three.
Efron.
Big W sign is pretty big.
But he can't move, though.
Number four.
Therefore, he can't go over the ropes then, can he?
But Efron can pick him up with them guns. Those roids.
This is just for a comedy spot. Number four is Miley Cyrus, so the lyric can be referenced. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood
She's the new
sign.
Favorite because she would come in.
Like a wrecking ball. Like
that,
Number five is the frontman from early 2000s pop punk band Alien Ant Farm.
Oh.
And just like the movies. What a tune, by the way.
That's a very... They're a good band.
Well, I only know those two. They're covers.
Yeah, me too. Criminal. They're a really good band.
The movies is a timeless song.
It's a Spotify classic. No matter what you put on Spotify, two or three songs down the line, movies by Alien Ant Farm appears.
No, he's not wrong. He's right. he's not wrong.
No, he's right. He's right. I remember, I think OSW Review commented on the Smooth Criminal video because they're doing it in a backyard ring.
Mm-hmm.
They're performing in a ring and the ropes are really wobbly. And they say it's like WrestleMania 1. number six. Oh, by the way, Sam Driver once told me that apparently there's a documentary during the pomp of Alien Ant Farm. Follows them on tour in Spain, but then there's like a horrific bus crash on the tour.
About
bus
this,
crash. Yeah, apparently the documentary was just there and captured it all. It sounds really sad. Number six is Joel likes films.
He just likes films.
My favorite still, Miley Cyrus is still a front runner.
Number seven, the shark from Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
He would die.
Number
no water.
Number eight, the shark from Shark Tale.
He would die as well.
Number nine, Professor Noel Sharkey, the head judge at Robot Wars.
Oh.
Nerd.
Yep. style control, damage, and aggression. Number 10 is Hollywood, Hulk Hogan.
Mm.
Oh, well, there you go.
Number 11
Might
is
well stop there.
Number 11 is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the biggest actor in the world and wrestler. Number 12, Rocky Balboa, but humble Rocky from Rocky 1, not overpowered Rocky from Rocky 4.
Hogan still wins.
I know that Rocky beat Hogan in Rocky 3.
Oh, does
this
he
is
beat
Hollywood
him?
Hogan. I thought Hogan
at the start of Rocky 3, he has a match against Thunderlips, and that's Hulk Hogan.
Hollywood Hogan's got creative control, though, hasn't he, in his contract?
Yeah,
sure. He needs to get his win back.
Yeah. And Hulk Hogan playing Tony Khan in a film is a fantastic, it's a fantastic thought.
Yeah. I know that Rocky IV's very popular down here in the editor's office.
I've never seen one before.
Any
so,
of them?
No.
Like Sam Puck?
I've heard there's a robot in one.
Yeah, Paulie gets a robot. Which Rocky buys him one. It's to show how they've become rich.
I kind of like the idea of that.
Happy birthday, Paulie.
Is it one of them just like blocky robots? You
it's
know,
like little,
where it's got wheels
it's like
on bottom.
It's got like tank tracks or something. Yeah, yeah. It just goes in. It's more like a remote control car.
Rubbish.
But it goes happy birthday, Paulie.
Which is pretty good.
You like Rocky IV, don't you?
I'm with Ant. I haven't seen any of the Rockies.
Same
really?
Here.
No way.
I've seen a bit of one of them where he's in his flat with his dog and then he goes and works out on a big bit of meat.
Yeah, he punches the meat. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the one I've been,
punch
the
that
bit
meat.
Of one I've seen.
Beat the meat.
Yes. One's a legitimately good film.
Yeah.
The rest are silly.
I need to watch them. I've heard Four's fun.
One's a good one won like Best Picture. One's a great film.
Yeah.
Then it gets off the rails. Or on the rails. Number 13, A Bit of Flubber from Flubber.
That would be better for basketball, as already has been
Hogan
shown.
Still beats that. Hollywood Hogan.
Mm.
Yeah.
Number 14, Ferris Bueller, brackets, so I can see him get battered. I hate Ferris Bueller. You see Ferris
the
Bueller?
Character or the actor themselves?
The character, but apparently Matthew Broderick.
I've heard he's a bit of
manslaughtered
a...
manslaughtered someone.
Bit
yeah.
of a bum, yeah.
Yeah. I think he hit him with a car or something. Hit them with
smart,
the car.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoops.
But Ferris Bueller, the character, what an arsehole.
Yeah.
What's the point? Why... Why is he so cocky?
He's got a day off, hasn't he?
I hate him.
Big house, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 15, The Big Tree from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, if we're getting into trees again.
Brackets, multiple? Ask Andrew.
There is a few trees.
Right, okay.
There is, I can't remember Andrew. What the tree is called, but...
How many roots has it got? That's a
main
question.
Has it got four? Well, this is the thing. the thing is now, we've had a tree, I believe, that's won before in these things.
It was trees in Chinese mythology.
Trees in Chinese mythology and Lord of the Rings trees are up there for me right now. The tree is winning.
Has he got any spooky powers, this tree?
He can speak.
Is that it?
To trees.
It moves.
People.
It like moves on the battlefield.
Hogan still wins.
Okay. No.
He can pick up a tree.
Number 16. Has anyone seen Ocean's 11?
Nah.
Yes.
The one with,
the one with George Clooney.
Clooney.
Yeah. Long time ago, though.
The Amazing Yen from Ocean's 11. The
is that the...
The Chinese guy.
I can't remember.
Hogan still wins.
I mean, Hogan would win.
Number 17, Nick Wayne's mother, best actress in the biz.
She wins. Hogan would...
Hogan.
He'd go down.
He'd crumble.
No, he wouldn't.
He'd crow. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Number 18...
He'd take the L.
Number 18, Shrek, because he wins his match in Shrek, doesn't he?
But is he a good wrestler?
Is a good wrestler.
Find out over Christmas.
Mm. We've had this conversation.
A little bit of foreshadowing.
I'm very excited for this.
Just two left. So number 19 is Tyler Durden from Fight Club. And then number 19 is the unnamed narrator from Fight Club. If you know, you know.
Oh.
That's. You see what I've done there?
Quietly talk about
and
that.
And then number 20, it's you, the viewer. Ooh, it's art. It's cinema.
Oh. Yeah. Yes,
Nick Wayne's mom with the win.
The trees.
She is the star.
Nick Wayne's mom.
Yeah.
The trees.
That's the only one that could take down Hogan. She's blonde as well. That's what he goes for. He can't resist himself, can he?
Yeah, it's weird.
He can't resist it.
Oh,
he
is
can't
that like,
himself.
Oh, I guess that is his thing, isn't it?
She's quite Hogan's type.
Mm.
Yeah, she is.
Mm. Mm. Do you think he sees like a full head of blonde hair and just immediately like gravitates towards it?
Wait, it feels like...
Is that why you shaved yours off? Because you were scared of Hulk Hogan? You were like, oh,
yeah, he's got, you can hear him.
Because you would have been
it's
quite
like
Hogan's
Slender
type.
Man. You just hear him and, oh, brother.
They all look like his daughter, though, which is worrying.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's all right if the mom looks like the daughter looks like
but
the
afterwards,
mom.
Yeah.
But afterwards, it becomes a problem.
Yeah, it does.
Right, so Hogan wins.
The trees.
No, Nick Wayne's mom wins.
Yeah.
Up the map.
And you said the tree.
I
the
said
ent.
The trees.
Ents.
The ends. That's
ent.
It. The tree ent.
Yeah.
Nick Wayne's mum, though, eh? She'll win.
Not
in a weird way. I was just saying, like, she wins.
My pick.
Who do you want to win?
I like the sound of that Joel guy.
You, Joel guy.
I think he could take it.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good.
Picture a Santina Morel like performance from him. In Bosch. Gone. See you later.
Oh, wow. Bloody hell.
I am weak.
What an end to the video. This was a loose one. It felt quite loose, didn't it?
It's, I don't know anymore.
Come on. Yeah. We got one next week, everybody.
No, do you know what? No, do you know
yes!
what? I'm dreading the Survivor Series one because there's just almost too much you can do.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's a good thing, I suppose, because Survivor Series, lots of people involved.
We can pick.
Yeah, we can do that.
But I'll be on the channel next week. And it will be my last pitches video.
No, it won't.
Like Sting in 2024.
Come on now.
Ross at December, November 2023. Whatever month now. It is, where am I? What's happening?
November.
End the video.
Thank you very much for watching 9 pitches for AEW Full Gear 2023. We will be doing all the coverage this weekend. We've got we've got predictions going up with Tom and Fraser. We've got live reactions with Tom and Fraser, youtube.com/cultaholic/live as the show is going on. I'll be doing What Happened At, and you know, I feel like there's
What happened to the series?
Bring it back.
This is a new feeling. It's called being washed, Andrew.
No!
This is what being washed feels like.
We're not washed.
I don't believe it.
I'm squeaky
Where's
clean.
Where's the Kevorka?
Back in 2017.
So we got all that. And I feel like I've left something out, but I don't think I have. I'm on the slogan, thank you.
Steady on, Joel.
Leave your thoughts on our pitches or even indeed your own pitches in the comments section down below. And remember, as Joel thankfully reminded me there, life's a pitch.
And then you die.
Let's do all the outro. Love you, bye. Is there any more?
Kiss, kiss.
Doesn't Adam
I'm not
do,
doing that one. That's a disgrace.
Doesn't
that
Adam do a bit of like a, all right, see you later.
Hello. I don't think so. Why would he say hello at the end?
I'm thinking of his, when you like introduce him on a podcast or whatever, he goes like, all right.
Let's end the podcast with some pleb banter.
Pleb banter.
What is that? What he says?
What us common folk talk around.
What are the other sign-offs that we've got? What's yours?
I don't do one. I just end it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's
you say, I've been Jack the Jobber.
And I'll see you very soon. Which is just what we used to say at Walk Culture.
We'll put it the bloody side on the wall and we'll say something together after three.
Life's a pitch.
And then you die. Pal. How are you doing, pal? Not very well because you're dead, pal.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.